talked about hope having a name, and we talked about the encounter of two men on the road to Emmaus, and they kind of talked about what their encounter with Jesus and how it affected their lives. And so today, we're going to continue on with that in this whole month, and probably a little bit in May, we're going to talk about hope has a name. And in each instance, we're going to talk a lot about the family, going to talk a lot about marriage, going to talk about having kids. And so if you have kids or you're married or you want to be married, I encourage you to come the next couple weeks. Kids, go ahead and go. We'll dismiss you. So good to have you in here today again. See you later. By the way, there is youth band and youth group tonight. Well, let's pray, and we'll hop right into it. Jesus, just take your word and do something that I can't. I have preached this sermon in my head a million times this week, and I preached it last night in my sleep. And I just pray that, God, that you will allow me to get it out and to just make my words clear. And that's not my word, that's your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. Hold that open. That's where we're going to camp today. Going to be there primarily pretty much. Hope has a name. And today we're going to take off that hope allows us to build a legacy. Hope allows us to build a legacy. And I'm going to talk about what that is. A legacy is your words and deeds pieced together to make your history. It's your words and your deeds pieced together to make your history. And it lights the way for those who follow. Now, if you're here today and you're alive and you're breathing, and you all are, you are going to leave a legacy. It's going to be a good one, or it could be a meh, or it could be a bad one. It could be a bad one. There's a couple choices, but it's up to you. And as I thought about this today, about leaving a legacy, about hope, building a legacy, I think the reason I want to start with this today is because we have had a lot of pain in our church the last couple weeks. Marty lost his son, Russ lost his son last week, and very unexpectedly. And then comes along someone that most of you know in the community, or at least heard about probably, a guy named Chad Smith. I don't know if you know who Chad Smith is. Some of you know Chad Smith? A couple, three, two. Anyway, Chad was a young man from Indian Creek. And I won't go into a lot because, but I rewatched his interview. He goes to Emmanuel Church. And I rewatched the interview that him and his wife, this is a 19-year-old boy, last year, doing an interview on Emmanuel Church's Sunday morning, talking about he has cancer, or he had cancer. And the reason I know about Chad is because I knew his daddy, and his daddy was a faithful man. I knew him years ago when I was at Franklin Memorial, which is now Victory, and he was at Indian Creek, and he went to Fairhaven Christian Church. And I'll never forget Kevin, his daddy, would always, I would do these silly lock-ins with kids, and we would do them late nights, and we would try to find things that were crazy to do in the middle of the night. And Kevin would always open up Indian Creek High School, and we'd take 100 kids down there, and we would go to the swimming pool in the middle of the night, like 2 o'clock. That's the kind of the man that Kevin was. That's Chad's dad. Chad talked about his dad so lovingly and his mom about why he was passionate about God now. And he came to his pastor. He said, "Pastor, I just want to get the word out that God is who he is." And he lived his life. This boy was a prominent sports figure in Johnson County and a very good swimmer when he was younger. And then he got diagnosed with cancer. And then last year, before this interview, he was given 5 months to live. And he just continued to talk and to talk and just so faith-filled. And I know it was an interview, and I understand that, but everybody that you hear and talk to said the same thing about Chad, how resolute he was and how focused he was on his mission to get the word out about that God is good and that God do that one thing that he created you to do and do it your best. and leave something behind you. And that's really what legacy is. It's leaving something behind you. Most of us in this room, we don't think about legacy very much until we have to. We don't think about legacy very much. In fact, we don't even like them very much. My mom is always arguing with me because I don't like her stuff. She thinks a lot of her stuff is her legacy, and I get it. But her legacy, my mom and my dad's legacy, you know what it is? It's me. It's me. My mom and dad's legacy is me. And I am who I am because of my mom and my dad a lot. It's not our stuff, and I understand our stuff is important. Stuff brings, I've talked to several individuals in the last couple of weeks, and the older generation is very touchy about the younger generation not liking the older generation's stuff and revering it. Because when mom and dad generally get older and they're getting towards the end of life, most of us want to declutter, and we want to not even to hold on to things, we want to get rid of things. And so the older generation gets upset about that because you should like this because I like this, and I get it, it was special. I understand both sides. But I would say to you, and I say to my mom, and I just say to everybody here today, legacy is not stuff. It is not your things. It is not your money. It is not the accomplishments that you have. It's the people and the relationships that you garner and what you leave when you're gone. Legacy lights the way for those who follow. That's why our world is in trouble. Our world is in trouble because we are raising kids today that don't know how to raise other kids. They are so inept, and they don't know how to do the basic things. But here, yet they're in charge of this beautiful, wonderful thing called life. And they've got this kid, and there's very few operating manuals that really tell you what to do with this incredible ball of energy. And so what we do is we stumble, and we stumble, and we stumble, and we try our best. And most of the times, our best is not very good. The reality today, this morning, as each of us in this room and those watching at home, is that every life leaves a legacy. It's not an option. But the question is, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? Hope can leave an incredible legacy that can be around for generations and generations if hope builds the legacy. If hope doesn't build the legacy, what happens is the legacy just kind of goes away. And I would think that more of us would be very, very, you know, concerned about what is the world is going to be left when I leave this place. And I'm not talking about the fishes, and I'm not talking about the saving the rainforest and those things are good in the climate, but I'm talking about the people that are in this place. God made the people over dominion over this place that we live. And he told you and he told me, go, and here's a path by which to do that. Your family that you all have garnered, those people that you brought into this world, primarily, you're going to pass on to them with your legacy. And it's going to be good, bad, or maybe just meh. I got it. I said that again. Proverbs says this in verse 13:22. A good man, or could say woman, leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And they're not talking about money there. They're talking about inheritance. Steps to follow, a path to say, this is how you walk so when you come to the cliff, you don't fall over. Most of our kids today are not equipped for that. They're equipped to do this. They're equipped to do a billion games. They're equipped to do this. And they're good at it. And they can take your phone and they can fix it and they can fix your computer. Your 8-year-olds can tell you what to do with your stuff. But let me tell you what, that's not going to last. That's not going to last. There's going to come a time when there has to be more than this. There has to be relationship. There has to be, I know who you are, and I'm known by you, and you're known by me, and you watch me. One of the things that Chad said was, I got in the car every morning, and I was going to swim practice, and you know what was on? It was Christian music. And I saw my dad go to the Indian Creek School, and you know what he carried with him? The Bible. I saw that, and it made an impression on me. And it made an impression that indelibly was marked. And I knew what was important to my dad. And some of our kids have no idea what's important to you. None. If they were to surmise what was important to you, some of it would be your vacations you take. Or the stuff you have. Or the job that you have. I get it. It's important. Jobs are important. I'm not saying that. But I am understanding that there has to be a balance. And we have got to come back towards that balance. Because, church, we are in danger of losing the difference between making a living and making a life. So many of us have gotten caught up in making a living that we forgot about we need to make a life. And the life you make has the potential to last for generation and generation and generation if Jesus tarries, if Jesus doesn't come back. Richard Lamb, a former governor, said this, "Future historians will say that multiple factors led to the decline in America. We're led by the failure to replace ourselves with enough stable kids born to families with the ability to raise successful children themselves." I think that's daunting. And I think we look around today and we're going, a lot of people are raising a bunch of nut jobs. We're raising nut jobs. And we're allowing the school system to raise our kids, and we're allowing colleges to teach. Well, what can I do? I think it has to start when they're young. That they have to be the ability to say, no, the world was created in 6,000. You can't even debate that with most of the kids that go to public school today. They've been indoctrinated so much that the world was created in billions and billions and billions of years on some big boom. Just happened. And yet we are content to let our kids think that, to let our grandkids continue to think that. So now where you go to any state park, you know, I remember going to Mammoth Cave State Park, and I've got a group of high school kids years ago with Bob, and we're walking through, and then we're talking about creation, and we're doing all this, and the first thing the guy in the cave said was, yeah, this cave was created 6,700,000 years ago, exactly. And all our kids are looking around going, that's not what we're talking about. And everything, it just flies in the face of everything that we have in the book that says this is what this is, because most of us have given up. And we've given up and said, I'll just let the schools teach that. Let them teach assignments and gender reassignments and this, and it just goes on and on and on. Where does it stop? There's a difference between reputation and legacy. Let me talk about that real quick, and then I'm going to get into it. My sermon is not long. I got to get this into you because I think it's important that you get this. Your reputation is who you're supposed to be. Your legacy is who you are. Your legacy is who you are when nobody else is around. Your reputation is what you have when you come to a new community or you come to a new friend. Your legacy is what you leave behind when you go. A reputation is made in a moment. A legacy is built in a lifetime. So here's what I want to say to you. If you're feeling horrible and you left a horrible legacy so far, it is not too late. Grandma, Grandpa, it is not too late. We already messed up our kid. No, it is not too late. As long as you have breath, it is not too late. A reputation is what men and women say about you on your tombstone. Legacy is what your children will live with for the rest of their lives. And they will leave it, and they will leave it, and they will leave it, and on and on and on. 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7 says this. Paul's talking to his little boy Timothy. Timothy, for I'm already poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. In other words, it's just about over for me. Here's what I want you to know. I've lived most of my life. These three things. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Whew, I like that. I like that. Let's talk about it real briefly. Here we go. Right off the top. Notice that Paul's brief statement says nothing about the education that he got taught. It talks nothing about the places that he traveled, and he'd been a lot of places. Didn't talk about that he was a writer, or the people that he preached to, or the churches that he had planted. He flat out wanted his legacy to be labeled as one word: faithful. I think I'd like that on my tombstone. Faithful. Just faithful. Not flashy. Never have been, never will be. Just faithful. Doing the things you know to do. Messing them up once in a while. Breaking the rules once in a while. But faithful, faithful. I want that to be our aim. I just want to follow Jesus. That's it. And it's so easy to get off track doing that because life pulls us in so many other directions. Every day you're faced with work and this and that, and the kid's doing this now, and it's all opening back up, and there's everything coming at you. And that's why I want to talk about this, because I think it's important as we break out of this last year, whatever you want to call it, this thing where we've all don't know what to do, and now we're coming out of it. I don't want to be back to normal. I don't want you to be back to normal. I want you to recreate who God has done you. I want our church to act like we're a brand new church. Forget the last 18 years, good and bad. Forget it. Forget it. I didn't say it didn't happen, but today we're going to start with a new slate. That's the beauty about being a Christian. You can start anew. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Today is what you got. That's all you got. The Bible doesn't guarantee none of you tomorrow. That's Marty. That's Russ. That's Kevin. But yet we live like we got lots of time. Yet we waste so much time. And we only have so little time. I want to challenge you, if nothing else, to come out of this quarantine, whatever you want to call it, whatever you've been in this last year, to say, I'm going to take our family and we're going to recreate who we are. We're going to look at everything. And we're doing that as a church. I'm doing that as a person. I'm going, what now? Not why not, why? Ask Marty if he's got the answer to why. There's no reason why. None. No reason why, his son. You'll never get that answered. But what Marty can answer now is, what do I do now? What Kevin can do now is say, what now? What do I do now? What's God want me to do now? And that's my challenge for you today. Paul thought about the end of his life. He made these three profound statements, and you all have heard them a million times, and you can quote them. You know each one of them. And I would suggest to you that you have some of the greatest statements in front of you, these three statements of our time, and they will help you define your legacy. And if you want three simple statements, here, there they are. They are right. They're right there in front of you, right there in 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7. All you need is wrapped up profoundly in those little, deep statements. I fought the good fight. Mom and Dad, Grams and Gramps, if you want to leave a legacy that's greater than you, recognize that each day that you're in a war, you are in a fight. And some of you need to wake up. You need a loving hand slap. Wake up. You're in a war. And you've got to choose to stand firm. You've got to choose to be clothed in your armor. The devil is a hope stealer. He is a stealer. He takes your hope away. And when he does that, we get confused. You can't do it anyway. You're too busy. You have no business doing that. We hear these statements. Where do they come from? The pit of hell. You just need to take care of you. You and your family. That's right. Don't worry about any other family. Well, yes, of course Jesus says take care of your family. But not exclusively. Because there's other families that need help too. There's other families that don't have the benefits that you've had. And if you're holding yourself up in a little hole and saying, well, you know, as this place gets crazier around me, all I'm going to do is take all my family and we're going to shrink in here. And I want to say, I don't care how crazy and Wild West it gets out there, I want to be the one out there saying there is a difference and he is Jesus and there's hope and he is Jesus. We've got to come out of our holes. The devil is a hope stealer. I think, and I know this last year and years before, many of us have become careless with the disciplines of the faith. Prayer, Bible study, going to church, being involved, all those things have taken a hit. For whatever reason, and everybody's got a different one. Everybody. The devil is a hope stealer. Hope begins knowing the one who hope comes from. And the only way you know the one that hope comes from is if you know what he's saying and what he's telling the church and what he has for the church today. You've got to understand this morning, grandparents, that Satan is not just targeting you. He is targeting your grandkids. He is targeting your kids. And he is targeting future generations. He wants them to have nothing by which to stand a leg on. Satan is not just targeting you. He is targeting everybody around you because he knows if he can get you, then he can get your whole sphere of influence. And so when you don't care about anything or all you care about is just whatever it is you care about that's not God-related right now, hope gets stolen by the stealer. You must begin to care about your legacy, church. You say, I never really thought about it. Okay, you must begin to care. That's what I want to say today. Wake up. Start caring about what you leave behind. It is created by choices that you make every day. It is not created by just one or two things. It's choices that you make every day. Ephesians 6:12 puts it this way, what I said at the very beginning it's a fight. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. It is not your spouse. Your spouse is not the enemy. Your kids are not the enemy. It is what the devil is doing in people. And he is stealing their hope. It's not against flesh and blood. It is not against flesh and blood. Did you hear what I said? We have to fight for a hope-filled legacy. The devil does not want you to walk in hope. The devil doesn't want you to have hope. The devil wants you to just to feel hopeless. There's nothing I can do about any of this, right? How many of you have said that this last year? There's just nothing. I wash my hands. I'm done. This, they're doing this, and they're, oh, done. You have a sphere of influence. Get busy fighting the fight for that sphere. You're right. There's nothing you can do about Washington. There's nothing you can do about California. There's nothing you can do about Louisiana, China. You can't do anything about any of that. But what you can do is where you live. Period. 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 Do you know how you tell if you're winning the fight? Do you? There's some fruit coming out of you. There's a bit of a garden coming out of you. And you know what the Galatians calls it? They call it the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. How do I know if I'm leaving a legacy? Any of those things are present in your life. If you're a big grump, if all you are is grumpy all the time, if all you are is a big old sourpuss, and everywhere you go, everything stinks, and I don't know, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? What are you bringing to the gardens around you? Not hope. No hope. If you are a Christ follower, you're supposed to have fruit growing on the branches that other people can take and say, oh, look, I like that. Look at that peace. How can you be peaceful when they're coming for our guns? Can be. If you want to leave a legacy, Paul says, fight the good fight. Look for good fruit in you. Not in your kids, not in your spouse. Don't be a fruit inspector for other people. Because that's what we do immediately. My wife, she ain't got no fruit. There's nothing. If it's there, it's on the top of the tree. I don't see it. That's what we do. Look for the fruit in you. You want to inspect some fruit, start looking around. Don't look around other people. Finish the race. Let's move on. I'm going too long. Finish the race means that you stay steady. It is not a sprint. You are not running a sprint. That's why it's laborious. That's why being a Christian is hard. Because it every day you got to do the same things. Every day. Here's a really great question I found in the Bible this week. I've never seen this question before. I went to one version that says this, Galatians 5:7. I think we can pull that up, Mindy. Is it up there? Galatians 5:7. You were running well, Jeff. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? There's the question. Right there in the truth. Who hindered you? Who stopped you from running well? Who ran you from stopping the race? I think there's four D's. I know what they are right in my head. Distraction, discouragement, divisions, and deceptions. Real quickly, here's what they are. Distractions. Good things. We all know we're busy. We're doing good things. Most of you are doing really, really good things, but maybe not God things. You can be doing a whole life of good things and still not be doing what God wants you to do. Well, there's nothing. My kids are good kids. Good. Are they godly? They're good. Discouragement? Oh, my gosh. You've tried, and you tried, and you tried, and you tried, and nothing works. Been there? Are you there? I tried everything. Divisions? Oh, my gosh. Divisions. And we fight with others. We make fun of people who do one thing or don't do this or what are they? They're living in fear. They're doing this. They got something wrapped in there. I don't like those things. And I love, and I don't get that. Do get that. Don't. We're divided. I know it. There's so much conjecture about all this. I get it. I get it. I get it. I'm just saying, don't let it divide you. Don't let it split you up. If nothing else, come to what we talked about several months ago. You got to just come back and say, what can we agree on? We can agree that Jesus is hope. And that's where I'm going to go with you, brother. I'm not going to make fun of you because you do or don't. I'm going to love you because Jesus loves us both just the dumb way we are. Just the dumb way we are. And deceptions. When we're deceived, we stop running. We just give up because our eyes get covered. Distractions, discouragements, divisions, deceptions. Hebrews 12 says this. Listen, you know this verse. You've heard it 16 times. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. What is everything? It's the four D's. What is everything? Throw off everything. Throw those off. Every day you're going to have to do it. I understand. Divisions happen every day. Discouragements happen every day. We get deceived every day. Fight the faith. Finish the race. Lastly, keep the faith. Keep the faith. I love that. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. The word for keep means to guard. The original word there meant to guard. To guard it. To look over. And some of us have buried our faith like the man with the one talent. We've taken our faith and I believe in God. And then we go over and we bury it in a hole and nothing happens. Nothing happens when you bury it. To guard, to look over, to hold on to truth. What does that look like? It's a daily thing. To pursue God daily, not weekly, not just once every 3 weeks when you come to church or you turn on a podcast. Forget living to please man and start today to live to please God. That's what it means to keep the faith. To worry about what God thinks about what you're doing instead of what people think about what you're doing. And then lastly, to live sacrificially for others. And that's hard. That's hard to give up your seat at the table for somebody else. Because why should they get it? You know, I'm in line. But the Bible talks about that. The greatest of all is what? Servant. Servant. I don't know about that. People leaving a legacy live sacrificially because they're leaving something greater than them. Because if you don't, all that's left is your tombstone. And for some of you, it's not even a tombstone anymore because we cremate people. And so it's ash. You're back to the... That's all. That's it. Do you really want to be just gone in history? Or do you want to do something for the kingdom that will last for eternity? Because that's how you make a legacy, is you think about long term, not just now, forever. So let's close. You can't fight the faith, or you cannot fight the good fight. You cannot finish the race. You cannot keep the faith. There's no way you can do it on your own, nor could Paul. The only way you can do it is through the way Paul talked about it. He talked in Galatians 2:20. He said, you see, he left us with these words. He said, it is I who have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. See, that's the living we're talking about. When you live like that, then the legacy is going to just come and be there. And then he goes on and he says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things? How much of that is all? All. All is all. So here's the question I want you to think about as ministry time gets ready to go. Ben, come on up. Have you made up your mind to finish the race? You say, well, of course. I got no choice. Yes, you do. You have a choice. Because what you do now leaves a legacy. Your flesh does not want to leave a legacy. Your flesh does not want to leave a legacy. Your flesh just wants to go, just bury me and forget about me. And we'll go on from there. Your flesh is all about right now, right now. Your legacy, if it's in hope in Jesus, is about eternity. It's time to choose this morning. Do you want to leave a legacy? Will you say, by the strength of Christ in you, I will fight the good fight. I will finish the race. I will keep the faith. Pray with me. Let's pray. Father, it is good to hear what Brother Paul says to us today. From day to day, we need a kick in the pants. We need encouragement because, God, we just get so discouraged. God, it's so easy to be distracted. It's easier and easier to be deceived because we're living in a world where we don't know who to believe. God, help us to believe you. Help us not to doubt you. Father, I pray if there's one here this morning that needs your touch, would you do that as the band sings here in just a second? God, would you meet them right where they are? There's one that this morning needs some prayer, needs somebody to come alongside him and says, I don't understand anything that guy just said, but I do feel something in my heart. I feel God tugging at my heart, and I've never felt that before. God, let him walk back there in the back. Let him just say, I'm here, and just would you pray for me? God, do a work in us today. Let this time not be for nothing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've got to start caring about legacy, church. You must care about your legacy. Hope builds a legacy, and it's worth following. It's worth following. What kind of legacy are you going to leave today? Let's see what God does during this time. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, guys. Well, me being typical me, I was thinking about Marty's son, Chad, and I called Chase Chad. I'm sorry, it's Chase Smith, not Chad Smith. I apologize, Chase Smith, for that mistake for calling the family. I had Chad in my mind, so sorry. And it doesn't matter. What matters is that you understand this morning that God is calling you to leave a legacy. He's calling you to do something more than what you're doing now. It's really not about you. It's just about you being open and then seeing what God will do through you today, what God will do in spite of you and in spite of me. Youth group tonight and youth band, I already said that. Today you can sign up for camp right after the service. Go out to the welcome desk. Men's retreat, we're having kind of a little different thing. We're calling it the men's weekend. Friday night is optional. A lot of guys just don't like to sleep in the same room with a bunch of other dudes, and we get that. So we're going to, if you do, come, and we're just going to have some late night snacks and goof around, play some cards, have a campfire. And if you just want to come on Saturday, you can come on Saturday. But you can, there's a schedule out there. It's pink. I made it just pretty pink just for our guys today. And you can take that and kind of see what we're doing. That would be great. Mandy needs some help in the cafe. We're getting ready to expand some of our services in the cafe as we open up some more. We're talking about biscuit and gravy Sunday, doing some things like that once a month, and just doing some things that'll kind of encourage you to come a little early in fellowship. So see Mandy, because we need some people that can work in there, and also some people that can make biscuits and gravy. And so let us know about that. We need people to help with mowing. We got two mowers now, and so it's a lot less time. If you would like to do that, be sure and see Yancey today in the next week or two as the grass starts to go crazy with all the rain. This week is the hub and food for a friend. Food for the friend is during the day on Tuesday, and then at night, the hub. Really encourage you to come and be a part of that. Start signing up for our community meal, which I think is next week. You can see Hillary to do that if you'd like to be a part of that. And do that today also. And also, if you can sign up to work at camp this Saturday, we're going to have our last camp work day before the men's day. We have some roof work we need to do, so we need a couple guys, and then we're going to do some finished things around the camp. So if you can come, there'll be lunch there from 10 to 2. Bob's left. Did he find out if she's moving today or not? Okay, did you, Ben, no idea? Are you just looking down at the floor? Or you don't know? Okay. We have a lady that needs to move, like, today, and so we're trying to figure out if we can get her. So we'll work that out, but we'll get it done. Thank you so much for being here, and let's pray, and I'll let you go. Jesus, we love you. We praise you that you love us in spite of our brokenness, that you love us when we make mistakes and we call people Chad that are named Chase, and that you love us when we do the things that we shouldn't do. You love us in spite of those things. I just pray for our church, God, that as we come and look forward to what happens now, that, God, you would help us recreate ourselves in you this next year, and that we would forget about what was before the pandemic, and we forget about what happened during the pandemic, and we just move forward, fighting that faith, fighting the fight by finishing the race.